Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Can it be a happy Monday? Sure it can. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony back at the 1010 XL World Headquarters. Jeff Prosser said, let it be noted, he was ready to do crosstalk. He's counting that as his one appearance on the program for the week, Tony. But
yeah.
He was coming out of production at the last minute, and it didn't time out well for the boys here on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you? How was your weekend out at the tournament? You're out there pretty much the whole time, weren't you?
Yeah. I was. It was a long shift yesterday, but that's okay. I had a really good time from Saturday. Was out there Saturday evening with David Lamb. And covering everything that was happening with the tournament then, Caddy Mike yesterday, as well as 2.5 hours with T-Wig, a little bit longer shift than I expected, but 6.5 hours of golf talk for me yesterday afternoon to wrap up the tournament, and it was fun, and the opportunity to talk something besides just strictly NFL football for
yes.
a few hours.
Yes.
I miss doing that sometimes, so I had a really fun time out
yes,
there.
Yes, 80% Jags, 10% NFL, 10% other stuff. That's pretty much how it works, and that other stuff is typically not other sports. So
no.
At least you have Fat Tuesdays, though. You can dip into some
yeah, a
of
little
that
bit.
Other stuff.
A little bit.
T-Wig, poor T-Wig. T-Wig was hosting a show with me. We were filling in for Frank Frangie back in the day, and we had a whole show planned, and then Dale Earnhardt died, and you had two guys who didn't know. You couldn't have found two guys who knew less about NASCAR at the time than the two of us on the Monday after Dale Earnhardt Sr. died in Daytona or at Daytona. And then yesterday, Lamb Chops came down under the weather, and T-Wig is holding court all by himself. And we're scrambling to find – and Tony's good enough to go out there early, or maybe you're planning on going out there early. But I had to tell you, bro, they don't look kindly on you calling in for 10 or 15 minutes from the third fairway. So I couldn't help you out yesterday.
No.
Wasn't going to happen yesterday.
All right.
It's kind of a boring tournament, I thought, when it was all said and done. I mean, in a sense that, look, it's great that Jason Day won. I think when you look back historically and you say another guy was ranked number one in the world and maybe one day will end up in the Pro Golf Hall of Fame, but there wasn't a whole lot of drama on the weekend.
No drama on the weekend, but there was – Saturday was fun. I mean, Saturday was fun to be on the air and talking about that round of golf compared to the first two rounds of golf. And I honestly think that maybe the greenskeepers out there decided to just, let's see how far we can get this thing since they're tearing up the greens tomorrow anyway. I doubt that's really what happened. But it was crazy. It went to U.S. Open conditions, basically, 14 on the stint meter.
Right.
The comments from Adam Scott were fantastic, saying if they want to make them any faster tomorrow, they might as well give us ice skates because we would be skaters out there with the way that those greens were rolling. I mean, it was crazy just how difficult it got just from Saturday morning to Saturday afternoon with the way they set up that golf course. And that was a lot of fun to talk about. And really yesterday was more about, look, 7-17. Jason Day has won 7 of the last 17 events that he's entered. And that is Tiger Woods type territory to have that kind of run of dominance on just the amount of tour wins that you're getting. He's clearly dominant right now. We'll see if he can carry that over to the U.S. Open and the British Open later on this summer. But it was fun to watch the one more coronation of one of the really, really good young players on tour right now.
All right, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole any further because I know right now we've got listeners to Jaguars Today saying, man, we put up with you guys for a whole freaking week out there at Sawgrass. Well, you really didn't. It was only 4 out of the 5 days we were out there.
Yeah.
So we're just wrapping it up right now. But to me, 7 out of 17 is not Tiger Woods territory. Let's not coronate this guy. The guy's
won
one
major
Tiger. The comparisons, Adam Scott's the one who said it. Said it was a Tiger-esque run. Let's let him be Jason Day with his 10 career wins.
We had the promo running going into the 2,000 players where Tiger had won 11 of his last 15.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And then he probably won 11 of the next 15, too, is the story, though. So let's see if he's really got a Tiger-like run, and let's see him win the next 4 majors in a row. That would be a Tiger-like run in my book. So today, we'll turn the page from that. We'll get down to a little bit of football talk and some nonsense as well, because that's how we roll in the month of May. Johnny O is going to join us. That has nothing to do with the nonsense. He'll be the nonsensical part of the program. Coming up, John Osier from Jaguars.com. Going to join us in studio in about 10 minutes here. Tony, one of the big sports stories of the weekend was Jose Bautista getting punched in the face. Pronounce the guy's name for me, please.
Rougned Odor.
Rougned Odor.
Yeah.
Odor is the guy. He rocked him pretty good.
We found out Jose's got a pretty good jaw.
He has a good jaw, but he got clipped now. It was one of those deals. I heard Jeff this morning say, he didn't go down. Look, bro, when Buster Douglas first caught Mike Tyson, Tyson didn't go down either, but you knew he was in trouble, right? You knew he was in trouble. He didn't have another 14 rounds or 11 rounds, as the case may be. Odor didn't, to go after Bautista. He got that first shot in. Look, honestly, all kidding aside, I think beanballs are stupid. All right, the guy flipped his bat. He disrespected you. It gives you no right, in my opinion, to try to injure a guy with a 90-plus mile-an-hour pitch that could break the guy's face if it gets away from you. Don't tell me you've got pinpoint accuracy that you can hit him exactly where you want. Otherwise, you'd be striking everybody out every time they came up if you had that kind of control. But, Bautista slid late and got punched in the face for his problem. To me, that's assault. But nonetheless, a lot of people enjoyed it. He did get rocked, and it was a little guy hitting the bigger guy. So today's question of the day, otherwise known as the J.J. Watt question. I warned you, Tyler. I warned you he's going to run and hide on this, although we've had a lot of other submissions. Which NFL player would you most like to see get punched in the face? Not necessarily you doing the punching, okay? You don't have to do the punching. Or if you'd like to do it yourself and take care of your own dirty work, I have a little bit more respect for you than seeing it done by proxy. But not only that, but why? And I'm getting Tom Brady, because he's Tom Brady. But what about Tom Brady makes you want to punch him in the face? Because he's Tom Brady. Because he has seemingly a perfect life and da-da-da-da-da, other than the fact that he's got the suspension hanging over him again. Whatever. Just try to give us a reason why. J.J. Watt, because he's J.J. Watt. That, to me, makes it sound like you're jealous, okay? That J.J. Watt's a great player. And anyone who wants to deny he's a great player can try to deny it. That, to me, is fandom run amok. And that's fine if you want to be that guy, but realize what you're doing. If you want to try to tell me J.J. Watt's not a great player, then you and I are not watching the same game of football in the National Football League. So if you don't like him because he's on the opponent or he showboats or whatever reason, just tell us why you think he deserves to get punched in the face. And I'm guessing you would handle that one by proxy as well, because he's not a small fellow.
Was Bautista getting rocked the cleanest punch you've ever seen in any game?
In baseball?
Not even just baseball, any game. That was a clean,
we're assuming boxing is not a game, right?
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Baseball, football, basketball.
Hockey. Even.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me?
I wouldn't include hockey.
Kermit Washington and Rudy Tomjanovic? It ended his career. He knocked him flat out. Are you kidding me? Have you ever seen this?
Oh, I remember that. I was maybe negative 20 years old.
You asked, have you ever seen, don't be a hacker who pretends things happened before they were born, didn't happen. Have a sense of history. Kermit Washington knocking out Rudy T, it got him blackballed from the NBA. I mean, that was the most vicious shot I can recall seeing. Look, Bautista, I'm not saying it's the right thing. He had his fists up, Tony. He's a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Get that left up a little higher, right? They tell you it's the hardest thing to do is keep your hands up for 12 rounds.
He was waiting for them to do what typically happens in those scrums, and that's when they start hugging and shoving. It was like Bautista was expecting that.
Mugging, right?
Right, and instead Odor went straight for the overhand right.
He didn't mess around, and I respect that. If you're gonna throw the punch, don't pretend to be a pretend tough guy, right?
No.
And I'm not saying that it makes you some great guy to throw that punch. I'm just, we've seen that whole dance before. Hold me back, hold me back, hold me back dance.
There was none of that.
There was not a whole lot of that going on this weekend. So we'll talk about that. We didn't really get too much into, although we touched on it lightly, Bjorn Warner getting picked up by the Jacksonville Jaguars last week. So we'll talk about that a little bit more when John Osier gets in. Can this guy reclaim his career? I know some have tried to make the connection. Hey, Jerry Hughes got drafted there, really didn't turn into anything, and then he went up to Buffalo, and now look at the guy. He's, flourishing as one of the top young pass rushers in the league. Could we see the same with Bjorn Berner, I guess is how you say it. Possibly. We'll discuss that a little bit today. And then Zach Mettenberger of the Tennessee Titans getting cut just moments ago, at least from what we understand moments ago. I got to believe there's something a little bit more to it than that. I don't think he's lit it up, Tony, when he's played, but he's certainly seems like a serviceable quarterback with a big arm that can go in and play and is not going to completely poop the bed when you put him in there.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I know Pro Football Focus said he played significant snaps in something like 14 games and only was graded positively in a couple of them. He's only been in the league for a couple of years, and he was a pretty late-round draft pick. So the Tennessee Titans have cut him loose. Alex Tanny, isn't Alex Tanny that trick shot quarterback guy. Remember the guy who made the YouTube videos of him throwing the football through basketball hoops and stuff? That guy's got no prayer. That guy's never going to play a snap in the National Football League. This is a curious decision by me, in my eyes, by the Tennessee Titans. Marcus Mariota, Matt Castle, top two guys on the depth chart. Do they really believe Alex Tanny is a guy they can develop for the future? Because, you know, I got to believe there's something up with Zach Mettenberger, who's had his off-the-field issues in college, well-documented. I'm just curious as if he's had, you know, trouble getting along in Nashville or not. Maybe not. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe it's a purely football decision. I'm sure they're going to spin it that way.
Let's not hate on Alex Tanny. He has 115 career quarterback rating. He has a touchdown in his career.
What has he thrown? One pass?
One touchdown. Week 17 against the Colts.
There you go. One pass, so one touchdown in week 17. This guy's never going to make an impact in the National Football League. I don't believe, anyway. He's already 28 years old, by the way, Alex Tanny. Give me a break. Something's up with Mettenberger. Trust me. This is not just a football decision that gets made on May 16th. I don't believe it anyway. All right, we'll get into it today. If you want to get on board, 641-1010. It's the phone number. It's also the text line driven by Duval Ford on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Anything Jaguar NFL related or slightly Players Championship related, because we're still coming down off that. We did have a winner, by the way. Seth, who is a frequent tweeter of the program, Facebook poster, and the whole nine yards, had a trio that all made the cut, and that was key. You had to all make the cut. A lot of people had Mickelson, for instance, and Spieth. Those guys didn't make the cut. Kevin Na didn't make the damn cut. Ah!
I went 0 for 3 on my
Did pick. You really? I had Sergio, and he ended up plus 2, I think.
Yeah, he did. He was plus 2.
I was brutal. But our winning combination had Jason Day, Louis Oosthuizen, and I think it was Sergio was the other one at plus 2, so a combined net score of 16 under par. And nice prize as it ended up. You never know what we're going to give away, because we never know what we're going to give away. And, Tony, on Friday, they had a gift for the media who were covering the tournament, which was very nice, and I appreciate the gift, but I'm going to turn around and re-gift that, and I'm going to pass it along, because we get so much free stuff, and it's like, you know, it seems like a waste. So we got some great, I think they're 8x10, I would say. It's roughly an 8x10 autograph photo of Ricky Fowler, signed as he was last year's champion. And it's unframed, but it's suitable for framing, certainly. And a brand new Ricky Fowler style Puma golf hat. So very cool kind of deal. We'll throw in a Jaguars Today t-shirt for Seth, and there he goes.
Might be the best re-gift I've ever heard of.
That's pretty good, right?
That's a really good regift.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's going to turn around and go sell it to an autograph shop. That's his prerogative, you know? Tony and I, we remember when we gave away Florida Gator Miami Hurricane tickets back on the other network, and we had a great contest for it. Guy goes, I said, call in next week, tell us how it went. He called in, he goes, yep, went over to Gainesville, got $300 for the tickets. Hey, good for you, man. You know what? They're yours to do with. I'm not going to be a hater. You go out there and make your cash. All right, we'll take a break here. John Osher on the other side from Jaguars.com with Fat Tony, with Tyler Devitt. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
All right, we got Johnny O in the house. We'll talk Jaguar football with him momentarily. The question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships is this: which NFL player would you most like to see get punched in the face and why? And I appreciate their detailed responses. Now that I've said, please tell us why, because when you say, hey, so-and-so, for obvious reasons. I don't know what your reasons are why you want to see Odell Beckham get punched in the face. Apparently a lot of people do, though, Tony. Want to see your boy get punched in the face. We understand J.J. Watt and Tom Brady and on and on and on. So,
sure.
You know, send us your thoughts on that on both Facebook and also on the Twitter handles of @MD_1010XL, @1010XL, Fat Tony, @1010XL, Tyler. Oh, no. I can't read that one. I don't think. Well, I can read. I want to punch Aaron Murray so bad. He has a blank and wears a man purse. Okay? I'm not going to say what the blank is.
Yeah.
But you can guess for yourself. Guess amongst yourselves.
A great smile.
It's a 7-letter slang term. Okay? So,
judging by the picture that you've got up on the screen of him holding the man purse.
Yes.
He may have gotten punched for that.
It's quite possible he has, or maybe he punched some lady and took it from her. Right? Maybe he's the puncher instead of the punchee. Never know. What's up, Johnny O? How are you?
I mean, probably not news to anybody. I'm not the guy you want in a bench clearing brawl.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm the guy in the back. I'm eighth guy in, sort of pretending to grab somebody.
You're the guy jogging in from the bullpen, yeah, I mean, laughing about it, like, see, can I please be the last guy to arrive?
No. I'm ducking, running, rolling.
Oh, diving on top is clearly the coward's way to go.
Sure,
all right? I mean, that's a good way. I mean, if you want to jump on top of the
pile. I'm probably not going to flee.
Right?
Which would be my first
because
instinct.
Then the shame comes.
Right. The getting laughed at part of that would preclude that. But I'm not going to be the first guy.
You need one friend on every team in the big leagues, right? You just need one friend in every clubhouse. If it goes down, I'll meet you at second base, and we'll kind of wrestle around a little bit.
I was playing basketball. I was the mouthy kid who probably started something.
Were you?
But I wasn't first guy in.
Were you?
Even if I started, I wasn't first guy
in. Yeah, I run my mouth on occasion. I've run my mouth on occasion.
For being as bad as I was strikingly mouthy.
Is that right?
Yeah. It was.
So you were mouthy, like, about your game or someone else's game? Or talking trash?
Just about everything. I mean, I was not a coach's dream.
No?
No.
That's amazing. Well, you certainly matured over the years, Johnny O. All right, we'll talk about a few different Jaguar-related things. So, first of all, tournament good? You enjoy your time out there in the sunshine?
Yeah, I went out. I took my son out, his home from college. Went out about 11 or so on Thursday, probably left about 5. And
What do you do? You follow somebody or you post up somewhere?
We're not really hardcore into golf. So my son, being 20, wanted to see the guys he'd heard of. So we went out and we caught – I mean, it was kind of lucky. We caught Jason Day's shot on 9 on that day, which was his closing shot.
Right.
It was a great shot.
Yeah.
So it's funny. My son watched a little golf on TV. I watched it a lot growing up and covered, 10, 15 players, whatever it was. So I immediately understood that's a great shot. He kind of thought, and didn't really understand that it really was a great shot. So we went, and a little later on in the day, we camped out on 9 on 9. And nothing ever happened like that again.
Right.
So I kind of explained to him on the way back. I said, now you kind of see why that Jason Day shot. And he goes, yeah, that was pretty big time, wasn't it? When you see a shot like that and a guy playing at that level, it does make you realize how hard it is, and not everybody gets to that level. And
it helps have a frame of reference. You see enough, and you go, wow.
Then we sat on 9 for that afternoon crowd where Sergio came through that day. I want to say Spieth was in the bunch. He likes Ricky Fowler because all the kids like Ricky Fowler in the shoes.
Don't they all?
We got to see the guys that you wanted to see.
Yeah, so. And Tony, what was more fitting than a bunch of middle-aged media getting one of those Puma hats with the flat bills last week,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Is
that one of the giveaways? And it was very nice. I mean, Ricky, I said we're giving it away in our prize pack. He autographed a photo. I don't know if it was on 18 or 17
that
green.
That was 17
green. Green last year.
Yeah.
And he signed all the photos and gave everybody a Puma hat.
Packer took it somewhere and put his name on it, didn't he?
He did. Puma is kind of a big cat. So that's going in the prize pack. I couldn't quite bring myself to wearing the Puma hat.
Yeah.
Nothing against the brand.
It's a look that, there's a certain age that can pull it off.
I think the sneakers are all right. Remember the old ones? I don't even know if they look the same. When we were younger, they're white with the black stripe on the side, that came up and then swooped back.
I was a Nike guy by then. I mean, I wasn't. Obviously, wasn't sponsored.
It was a little like the upside down swoosh, though, almost the way it looked like. I was a pro kids kid. Sorry, man. We didn't have Nike money when I was coming up. John.
I wore them out and I had to wear them for a long, long time if I got them.
Hey, let's talk a little Jag football here now. We've got Bjorn Werner in the house, okay? Why not, right? It's kind of a why not signing, mid 20s guy. You take a chance on a guy who had a first round draft pedigree. Had tremendous success in college, and you look at a role and you try to envision him and say, hey, did they use him improperly in a 3-4 defense trying to make him an outside linebacker? Can he survive and can he maybe flourish and turn his career around as a Leo here?
Or even beyond that, I don't know that there's a great expectation that he's all of a sudden going to turn it on and be a double-digit sack guy who's pushing Fowler or even Ngakoue. I'm always going to pronounce that wrong.
It was in the ballpark.
So, but as a veteran if somebody gets hurt, if you need that third guy that you trust to know what he's doing in the NFL, yes, why not? If this had been your move in early free agency that you were trying to pin your hopes on, then obviously not. At this point, if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it's a low risk. So, yeah, why not?
Bernadeau, I saw, you know, Ryan O'Halloran wrote about it. We've talked about it as well, that right now, if you had to guess on a left guard, he's kind of the leader in the clubhouse for you?
Well,
first opportunity, at least?
Yeah, considering that at the start of training camp, I don't think Beecham will be there to allow Beecham and or Jokel to work there if they try to switch those two out. I'm still of the belief, I know Ryan doesn't believe this, I kind of think the left guard will be either Jokel or Beecham, because I think those two guys will be on the field in some capacity.
But think it'll ultimately be one of them?
I'm not going to bet the mortgage on it.
I understand.
But if I had to project, that's what I've been saying. So would it shock me if Bernardo's the guy? No, but I don't believe that you signed Beecham not to play, and I don't believe that they want to not have Jokel on the field.
All right. Well, do you think it'll be an open competition, though? Do you think
left tackle?
Let's say Jokel doesn't win the left tackle spot. Is he going to be anointed the left guard because they want him on the field? I mean, he's going to still have to beat out Bernadeau and anybody else.
I would expect there to be some playing with combinations and see, meaning, let's see what the best five is. Let's see where that works. Is it Beecham here? Is it Jokel here? Is it Bernadeau? You know, I don't think it's necessarily going to be who's going to win this spot. What are our best five?
Do you think Can is the right guard, or is that up in the air too?
I would expect that to be the case.
So
I don't think
from center over, we know what the line is, right?
I think so.
Yeah, right. And that's right. That's all we're going. Your opinion.
I would be very surprised. It makes sense to me to say, okay, Linder, Can, Parnell, we're set there. We like that. Work that. Keep that working. And then figure out the left side. Two players who I think, you know, I don't think they dislike Jokel as much as the fan base does, or as faction of the fan base does. So I don't think they're necessarily scared to have Jokel start in a left tackle.
I don't think they're scared to either, but they, at the same time, clearly they opted not to pick up the option, and we've discussed the reasons why, the pros and cons of that. And, you know, they went out and brought in Kelvin Beecham, mm-hmm. who, you know, if healthy, his play on the field up to this point in his career would be an upgrade to what Luke Jokel has done.
I think
based on what he's done. Now, not saying he can return to exactly that right away. You said you don't think he'll be there for the start of training camp.
Well,
right?
I don't know that that's a guarantee, I guess is the point.
I would agree with that. Do you think there is a timetable, though? What is the Jags' hope?
I think that's what the hope is.
For the beginning of training
that
he's
camp. There, but with that injury, you never know what – okay, he's there. How there? Is he full go? Is he being brought back intelligently, which is usually the case with an ACL at that point? It's usually not full go right out of the box. So is it a case where you need Jokel to play left tackle during part of preseason and then until Beecham gets up to speed, and then you sort of massage that side of the line as you go along and try to figure out what your best combination is? I think that scenario sounds to me more realistic. It's not as clear-cut, clear lines to talk about right now, but I see that kind of maybe how it's playing out, where they're trying to figure out as they go, because perhaps it's not an ideal situation with Beecham coming back, and you're like, okay, he can't play in week one of preseason, but he can go in week two of preseason. Jokel's playing okay. Let's put him here and see how that goes. It could be that sort of situation where it's not as defined as we're thinking.
Right. It could be a little fluid at the beginning of the season. And look, I think
because reality seeps in. Once you get into training camp, you're putting guys in there who can go.
Who are healthy, right.
And
if Beecham's not there, let's say, for a week and a half. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. Right. But let's say he misses 10 practices.
But we've all seen a lot of that kind of thing in training camp where it's like, okay, 2 or 3 days in. I have no idea if that'll be the case with this guy. But
sure.
If that happens, you could see it playing out where maybe he doesn't start the season at left tackle. But then after a couple of games, okay, he's ready to do
it. It's an interesting dynamic because at some point he has to play left tackle on the field in 2016 for this team to fully evaluate whether or not they're going to pick up that option, in my opinion.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And Joakim just beats him out so badly, you know, that, and I don't anticipate that happening, but if that were to happen, then,
well,
okay, maybe
the
you'd say that's the guy we're going to sign to the long-term deal.
I think we've talked about it, too. Good for them to put themselves in a situation where if Joakim does that, well, they're doing cartwheels. Hey, fantastic. The guy is living up to it. I think the Jaguars win either way on that front, if that
right.
makes any sense.
Yeah, because I guess the feeling, look, he's got a four-year, we're talking Beecham now, four-year, $40 million extension basically at
right.
the whim of the Jaguars. If they decide to apply that beginning
right.
in 2017, you could certainly turn around and say, all right, you know what? He's just not coming back from the knee
right.
the way we anticipated. Joakim played great. We'll give that money to him.
Right.
And that money, you've kind of... are looking at a competition for who will likely be the Jaguars' left
right.
tackle for the next foreseeable future
and
4 years or so.
Maybe it works out that Beecham comes in, plays, boom, great left tackle, contract. And that, I know that's a scenario that a lot of fans assume will happen. I'm not as assumptive of that, I guess.
All right, here we go to a break here, but before we do... Question of the day, once again, which NFL player would you most like to see get punched in the face? This is one I appreciate, Tony. I want to punch Tim Hightower because he cost me a fantasy title, and it was against the Jaguars
awesome.
Last year. Oh, my gosh. Tim Hightower was amazing.
He was really good.
You did not want to play that. Maybe my least favorite thing about fantasy football, other than getting snaked for a guy you want one pick before you were to select, is losing to a guy that's playing a bunch of guys he just picked up off the waiver wire because he got lucky and got there when his guys got hurt, and that's the way of the game from time to time.
He's probably the loudest talker, that guy, too, isn't he?
Always.
When that happens.
Look, anyone who wins is the loudest talker. Not always, as we find out. John Osier was quite the talker back in his peewee basketball days, but typically it's the guy who's having the most success who's running his mouth. All right, if you'd like to get in, 641-1010, both on the phone lines and the text line, driven by Duval Ford. We'll check in on the text line coming up next, and John Osier is going to stick around as well. It's a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Beltre dumped off a tough hop, and the throw is wide down the line, and there we got a 5 second. Bautista picked on the wrong guy as Odor came right at him, and we got the benches empty in that. There's some pent-up emotion going on out of Globe Life Park.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, that may be the first baseball rejoin we've ever had. It took I wouldn't even call it a brawl, Tony.
It was
one shot, one good shot.
As baseball fights go, that was pretty serious.
Right, but I mean,
you usually don't get that solid shot on anybody.
Right, but after that shot, I mean, is it a brawl if only one punch is landed in
the
brawl?
Pilar tried really hard to land about 50.
And did he?
He got close. I don't know if he really, he didn't hit anybody the way Odor did.
Yeah,
he didn't land that cleanly on anybody, but
I guess I just every
he
time
came in
bench
like a
is clear,
crazy
it's,
person.
It's usually referred to as a brawl. And
I gotta say, the next guy who's at first, and that guy's at shortstop, and the coach goes, "I slide in hard." I'm going, "Nah, I don't think I'm doing that."
Like, I'm just kind of you know, kind of drift off towards right field.
How about you sliding hard, Coach? How about that?
We just get out of your way right there. Spikes up. No,
yeah.
Thank you. He won't take that lying down. I got this one in a minute ago, and it's interesting now because I'm trying to really compel people to tell me why they hate J.J. Watt as much as they hate J.J. Watt. And I get it. Apparently, it's widespread in the city of Jacksonville. It's nothing new. We're not totally shocked by that. But this one in from at EZ, triple EZ, J.J. Watt, he's a clown. Did you see he bought a custom glove and bat for charity softball, and he brought zero for the kids? I mean, all right. So he has his own bat for softball, you know? He could probably afford it. I think his very presence in the
right.
charity softball game indicates he's probably doing something charitable, and his presence there. What do they outdraw, like, 10 Astros games, something like the 10 or 11 Astros games.
With the charity softball
game, they had more in attendance, so all that money is going to charity. And so he didn't bring any custom gloves and bats for the kids of that clown.
I kind of see why people dislike J.J. Watt. I mean, But nobody would hate him if he wasn't great.
If he were a Jacksonville Jaguar, would Jaguar fans feel he was ahead of LT or just behind LT as the greatest defensive player of all time?
They'd be saying LT who?
Exactly. Thank you very much. All right. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010 is the way to do it. Someone wants to punch Gene Smith, even though he's old, as he said. Hey, he ain't as old as I used to think he was. All right. Let's just put it that way. Okay. You start getting to our age, John.
Yeah, pretty young.
Right? He's a spry young lad is what he is. I hope that's the case. And the question, why was he trying to destroy our franchise with bad decisions? I'm sure that's what he set out to do.
Yeah, well, no.
You know.
He didn't, but.
He did not, no. What do we got? What are we waiting on? Next week, is it, 6 days, and we're going to see him on the field again?
OTAs, I believe, are Monday or
is
Tuesday.
Is it Monday? About a week from now, right?
Yeah, it's either Monday or next Tuesday, and I should know, and I'm
for some reason, the 22nd stuck in my mind, which would be Sunday, but regardless.
No, it wouldn't be Sunday. It can't be Sunday.
It can't be Sunday.
No, they can't do it over the weekends. They can't have voluntaries over the weekends.
Okay. So what will we see? What are they trying to get accomplished at the next round of off-season activity here?
Very similar to any mini camp, really. I mean, it's if you've seen the first few days of non-padded practices – during training camp, just think that, but still very introductory. They want to get him in teamwork. They want to start getting timing with the receivers. They want to have some one-on-one situations. And I'm not sure exactly what the rules say about one-on-one, but they want to have competitive situations, and that's what those 10 practices plus the 3 mandatory minicamp days in June are about. The mandatory minicamp and the OTAs are very similar structure, very similar in spirit, and it's just about trying to start competing, and I don't think they start separating the roster, but you start the real stuff, and if think of it as a pre-training camp period.
By the way, we found the age
cutoff. But no contact.
However old Big Country is as old as you're allowed to be to wear that Puma hat. Because my man just came in sporting it.
Right, he was wearing it yesterday, too, out at the
Is he over or under?
I don't know.
Too old?
He's the cutoff line. Whatever Big Country, it's Big Country and below.
Okay,
you can wear the hat. Yeah. I don't know how old Big Country is. I don't want to guess.
I should have worn him
so
yesterday.
If you're older than Big Country, the hat cannot be flat.
No.
I got you.
No.
Okay.
And I should have warned him yesterday that, he was wearing the hat at the media center during the shows, our coverage yesterday, and I was... In my head, I was like, I don't want to be the first guy seen in the media center wearing the free hat that Ricky Fowler just
Can't
gave out to
guy.
Everybody.
You know what?
I don't want to be that
you
guy.
You mentioned that this may be the first day in a long time I've worn nothing free. I've purchased all the clothes that are on me right now.
You can't wear the free where you got the free. That's the rule.
Yeah.
Well, I wear my 1010XL t-shirts to work all the time.
At an event. Like, you can't wear a free Super Bowl t-shirt at that. You can wear it at the next Super Bowl.
Right, to show that you were at the previous Super Bowl.
Right, yeah.
Right, but you cannot wear, I get what you're saying. You can't
That's
wear,
the code, baby.
Right, you can't wear that free thing that they're handing out to everybody as you walk in the door and
you
put
can't
that on right away.
Go to the bathroom, change, and put it on.
No, or just pull it on over your other shirt that you're wearing at that point in time. That's probably not a good idea either. Brandon Allen, do you think it's there, when they drafted him, clearly, I've heard a lot of feedback that people say, oh, he's going to overtake Henny. I don't think there's Henny is
2016. No,
right. Henny's got his role, and he is the backup quarterback here. And
I think he's guaranteed $5 million this year.
Right. So he's your backup quarterback. But when they draft Brandon Allen, and you drafted a quarterback, and you know what your circumstance is, there's a team that for a while now has been content to carry two quarterbacks.
Right.
And that's fine. It's really, statistically, they did a study on this going back probably 10 years now, but in the preceding 15 years, only once or twice, I think, had a team been forced to go to their third quarterback due to injury to the first two in the same game. So the idea that you'd have to go to that guy
is that's not why you carry
rare.
Three.
You're carrying a third one to develop that guy for
you
something down the road.
You carry three as a roster planning, maintaining over the long haul move. And a couple of thoughts on that. It gets very hard after a while if your quarterback is established and he's the guy, and you know he's the guy and he's durable. It can get difficult to get a veteran to sign with you that you like because they know they're not going to play. So that becomes tricky. Also, when you start signing these guys to long-term contracts, you no longer want that backup to be a $5 million cap hit, such as Chad Henne is. So I would think 2017, 2018, you have Brandon Allen. You hope he develops where you trust him as a backup, but you don't have a $5 million tag on him. You're much, much lower, and that allows you to do other things with the roster. So far, their cap has been fine. They can afford to pay Henne this. I don't think you normally want your backup having quite that large cap number. So you hope he develops into a guy that down the road is your top backup, or at least a guy who you can trade.
Because, oh, by the way, get ready in about a year, that all of a sudden that the money allocated to the quarterback position is going to go up significantly.
And all over the roster, too. I mean,
oh, sure. So, but particularly that, but, you know, we know, in other words,
when things start getting
tight,
your backup is not as apt to make that kind of backup money.
We were talking this weekend about, I had a guest on series talking Buffalo Bills, right? And they're talking about Tyrod Taylor, and they said they don't know if they want to pay Tyrod Taylor Brock Osweiler money. And I'm like, when did $18 million a year come to be known as Brock Osweiler money, right? Yeah. Isn't that crazy? So, I mean, you think the contract that Blake's going to get is going to blow your mind, and that's just the price of doing business in the National Football
League. Yeah, and it'll be the first contract like that that this franchise had to deal with, I believe. And I may be talking out of turn there, but in this modern pay-your-franchise-quarterback, that franchise-changing, cap-altering contract, assuming he is what we think he'll be this year, it'll be the first time they've had to deal with that. So it dramatically alters the structure of your roster, what you can do with other spots, and it becomes the focal point of the franchise around which you build everything else.
Do you think when they drafted Brandon Allen, the ideal for them would be to sneak him out of the practice squad, or that they anticipate, you know what, we're taking this guy, he's a quarterback, if he shows anything, you got to be ready to allocate that third roster spot to him?
I think you have to be ready to allocate the third roster spot. The other side of that is it's not that common that that late round rookie. Remember, somebody has to want him.
Sure.
And somebody has to want him probably in carry three to do it. So it's not like if you leave him out there, it's an automatic that people are going to jump all over it. It's a calculated risk if you do it that way. And maybe you're assuming, well, nobody's going to want to put a roster spot on a guy that doesn't know their system, they haven't developed for the last 3 or 4 months. But I think you have to be ready to allocate the roster spot if you truly believe that he can be your back. Excuse me, if you truly believe he can be your backup 2017, 18, 19 in that range.
All right, Johnny, we've run out of time. So tell us what's coming up in the next few days for you on Jaguars.com.
Well, I'm going out probably to a Little League game and get in a brawl.
All right. Well, excellent. That's a good start.
So, yeah, I mean,
as about a dad, or are you going to fight some of the kids?
Whoever. All comers.
Just bare knuckles, drop the gloves.
I'm going out ready.
You should wear your custom Osher glove to try to catch a foul ball first, and when somebody complains about it, you give them that roundhouse.
I still got my Bobby Bonds glove when I was in sixth
grade. Do you?
I was about 6 years old.
I used to have somebody who played for the Pirates was on my first glove. I don't have it anymore. It was nobody.
It was a little glove. It said, endorsed by Bobby Bonds.
Is that right? Oh, yeah. Endorsed by Bobby Bonds with the fake signature.
When I got it, I had no idea who Bobby Bonds
you
was.
You didn't have any idea who Bobby Bonds I was.
I wasn't a huge baseball guy until I was about 7 or 8.
Bobby Bonds, I'm going to get four-time 30-30 guy, maybe?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah. Bobby Bonds pretty darn good.
This was 73-74 I got the glove. So.
Nice. Other than fighting little leaguers and their parents, what do you got?
Well, that's pretty...
Got some ozone mailbags.
Pretty time-consuming. Yeah, ozone mailbag and .com live Wednesday and... This is really the last week where we're kind of looking ahead and sort of resetting the table. Next week, OTAs, about 4 weeks of pretty solid nonstop Jaguars coverage until we take a break before training camp.
All right, well, go enjoy the jackhammer down at Everbank.
I can't wait.
There he goes, John Osher,
all right,
senior writer from Jaguars.com on Twitter, simply at John Osher. Coming back this date in football and the Honda drive around the NFL. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, perhaps in the future, will be the day everyone punched J.J. Watt in the face if they had the opportunity, or maybe they just wish that it had happened. This date in football, Tony, all I got for you are a couple of famous birthdays, a couple of guys, very talented running backs whose careers took a slightly different turn. One, 1966, happy 50th to Thurman Thomas. Saw him at the Super Bowl this year. 50 years old, making me feel a little bit older today. Thurman Thomas, a five-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro, led the league in yards from scrimmage, combined passing or rushing and receiving yards four straight years, his second through fifth year in the league, and had eight 1,000-yard seasons. His last three 1,000-yard seasons, all less than 1,100 yards, but they still count.
They still count.
There's still 1,000-yard seasons and a Hall of Fame inductee in 2007.
Yeah, and what was it, a month and a half ago that he came out and for the first time really talked about some of the things he's dealing with in his post-playing career from a brain injury standpoint, said that the scans of his brain looked like it had gone through a car windshield. Is how he described it. So Thurman Thomas, one of the greats in the last 25 years.
He was here in Jacksonville at Emmitt Smith's retirement ceremony, and that night they had the big NFLPA party. They had Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, Thurman Thomas, Jerome Bettis, Curtis Martin, all these guys all together. Amazing amount of rushing yards all in one room. 1967, the other guy who shares a birthday with Thurman Thomas, 49 years old, Sammy Smith. Florida State fans will remember him well. He was the ninth overall pick in 1989 by the Miami Dolphins. Never had a 1,000-yard season. In 1996, Sammy Smith was convicted of two counts of possession and distribution of cocaine. At one point, he faced over 30 charges and could have spent the rest of his life in prison. Instead, he spent 7 years in prison. Now he's a spokesperson for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, trying to tell his story of how he, prison helped him turn his life around. He won restoration of his civil rights from the state of Florida in June 2010, but certainly a lot of wasted talent. The person of Sammy Smith, who I don't know if there was a running back that came before him out of Florida State that looked more like he was built for the pro game at 6'2", about 225 pounds, but never really panned out. And that is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, Jarrod Hayne, one of the stories of the early season last year when he made the roster for the San Francisco 49ers, has called it an NFL career after just one season. The rugby player said in a statement that the Fiji Rugby Sevens, which is one of the biggest rugby clubs in the world, has reached out to him about playing in the Olympics and said that he couldn't pass the chance to play with that club up here at the Olympics a little bit later this year. After signing Matt Cassel earlier this offseason to back up Marcus Mariota, the Tennessee Titans have decided to waive 2014 sixth-round pick Zach Mettenberger. Mettenberger was 0-10 as a starter with the Titans, 12 touchdowns, 14 interceptions in his appearances with the team. He is expected to be claimed by someone on waivers, so you can expect to hear his name on the Honda Drive again in the next couple of days when we find out where he lands. And finally, Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson spoke at the University of Wisconsin's graduation ceremony this weekend. Here's a clip from his speech.
Of course, I'm also here to share some things I've learned. Things like, if you're dating a woman that's way out of your league, ask her to marry you. If you can throw a football 80 yards, for some reason, people think that's pretty cool. And if you're playing New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, and you've got 26 seconds left, and you're down by four, and it's second and goal on their one-yard line, try not to throw an interception.
Good one.
Nice.
Nobody thinks Russell Wilson can throw a ball 80 yards, do they? Come on. I ain't buying Russell Wilson throwing a ball 80 yards. And, hey, Russ, what about your first wife who you kicked to the curb for Sierra? Huh? How about her? I want to talk about her today. Okay. Moving on. Is that it?
That's all we got.
I love it. Russell Wilson, I'm just, no sex before marriage. Hey, you know what? Bible's probably down on divorce, too, Russ, if you want to play that card. So you go right ahead, buddy.
All right, Russ.
I know you do. There you have it. All right.
Not to say that wasn't cheesy, but
Look, it's super cheesy. People were calling it the anti-Jordan retirement speech because he was self-deprecating and all that. That's fine. I'm just being a curmudgeon about things, but I don't believe he can throw the ball 80 yards, okay? I'm not saying Sierra is not above his he didn't outkick the coverage. That's the expression that's used a lot around here. I'm still not buying Russell Wilson has 80 yards of air under that football if he lets that thing loose. Maybe he does. I don't know. I don't know. What's the furthest you could throw a football right now?
I don't even
want to know right now.
No.
I'd be in traction if I tried it. I might have been able to throw it 50 yards in my heyday. Maybe. With a big parabolic arc in it in the middle. You know?
I think I saw somewhere where Blake Bortles was asked about 17. He thinks he would have a better chance of making the green if he threw the ball to 17 rather than hitting it.
No.
No, he'd throw his arm out.
He would throw his arm out. I read a story in Golf Digest.
They'd have to give him a really heavy golf ball.
Going back maybe 15 years, you ever heard of the Throlf? Google this right now. Seriously, Tyler. THROLF. And see if this is still a thing. Throwing golf, right? Throw golf. Throlf. And they had these leagues that were popping up of people that would do this. You would throw the ball off the tee. You'd pick it up. You'd throw it again. And whatever par would be, it would be. And the thing was, on the green, you could, as long as it was like a three-pointer, you know, as long as you jump from behind the three-point line, as long as it comes out of your fingers before you land, you can land inside the free throw line. It doesn't matter, and it's still worth three. And with the putts, you would jump, and as long as you release the ball, you dive towards the hole and try to drop it in the hole, is how you do a lot of the short putts. So I thought, oh, this sounds like a brilliant idea. Let me try this one day. And so my buddy Bill and I, we've been known to get into some stupid situations, but we tried that, and I absolutely almost threw my arm out. Now, granted, my arm is probably a little less in shape than Blake Bortles is at any point in my life, but it's not exactly built for, you know, like you said, the weight and everything. It just doesn't sit like a baseball fits in your hand. You're like, man, this thing was just built to be thrown, right? Golf ball, not so much. What do we got? Anything on Throlf?
Why would you just not play disc golf? Have you heard of disc golf?
I know what disc golf
is. Throlf is very odd.
Frisbee golf, but I guess frisbee is old school, and the kids don't like the word frisbee anymore.
Throlf is very odd. When you go to putt, obviously you have no club, so you just roll it underhand into the hole.
You can roll it, but I also, the way I heard it, as I just described, you could jump. As long as it was out of your hand, you could jump, and if you're in the air, now that would mess up the greens when your big fat ass is landing on the green.
So you could almost dunk,
in my case.
You could dunk it into the hole, right?
Right, you could dunk it. Like a five-footer, you just kind of jump and drop it in there rather than roll it.
And when you're teeing off, these guys are getting a running start, a crow hop, and everything.
Right, we tried this, dude, and honestly, think about throwing a golf ball. It's a weird weight and all that. I don't know how you don't mess your arm up, but people still play it, though, is the point.
Right.
Is that is correct, right?
It looks, according to you two, people are still playing it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
A listener on the text line. They're not calling the text line.
While we're trying to clear things up, I simply Googled how far can Russell Wilson throw a football.
Oh, and what did you get?
I got one. This is in the answers.com. Someone asked that question, and the response was he threw the football 73 yards as a sophomore in high school. I don't know what that means for what he could do now or if that's even true. But
right.
Someone said he threw it 73 yards as a sophomore in high school.
All right. Well, it's still not 80, Russ.
No.
Okay, quit exaggerating. Someone on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, says, does Mike want to punch Russell Wilson? No, I'm just being cantankerous in the moment. I mean, I like Russell Wilson as a player, and he's probably a better guy than a lot of guys out there. You know, he's not a bad guy. Just I don't like the whole, you know, too much. Just don't force feed me with your little syrupy sweet life. I don't want to hear about that.
I don't mind it.
The 80-yard, I'm still not buying. I mean, we see it, Russ. Maybe you can. I might be wrong. You know, he is an NFL quarterback. He might be able to chuck it 80 yards. It's not like he's called upon to do that. You just think, though. When you see, though, Tony, the Hail Marys, you know, that they get around the 50-yard line, right? People say, you got to get around the 50, right? And when you're throwing it maybe from the other 40 to get it in the end zone, that's only like 61 yards, right? To get in there, so 65 to get it to the middle of the end zone from the other 40. And it seems like a lot of quarterbacks are putting everything they've got into that throw. I'm just saying, that extra 15 yards is a lot.
Well, remember Aaron Rodgers' Hail Mary in the playoffs last year? That was about, 55, 60 yards, and that seemed like it was in the air forever.
Yeah, but I think that's the design of those throws. I don't think that throw is, let me put everything I got in it. It's, I need to throw it really high because that's what gives my guys the best chance to basically turn this into a rebound instead of a pass. So I think there probably are guys in the league that can throw the ball 80 yards. They just aren't ever called to because you're not asked to throw the ball 80 yards
on
the line.
No, I understand. I understand. So the PGA Tour's website yesterday, someone on the text line, while they were simulcasting the players, showed someone playing golf with a soccer ball. Didn't you do something like this? What do you play? You play some game like
this? Yeah, foot golf.
Foot golf?
Yeah, it's called foot golf, yeah.
All right.
I've done it a lot. It's a lot of fun.
All right. I bet I can throw this ball over that mountain. I told this story. I'm going to tell this story for the 850th time on radio. Quick anecdote. The Mike Vick story. I love this. Read this probably when he was back in college, and he's messing around and he's got some like three-story apartment buildings or whatever in a street or whatever he's living on. And his mom's off at work. The kids are all playing after school. And the guy's sitting on the stoop. He comes home and says, "Hey, your boy Mike there has got quite a right arm." He's like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "He's been throwing the tennis ball over the building all day." She's like, "You know, he's left-handed, right?" "Well, he wasn't throwing it with his left hand. You know, he's throwing it with his right arm." Just athletes like that freak me out. You know what I mean?
Right.
I remember reading a profile on Randy Moss. Said he could drive the ball 300 yards. You know, this was at his rookie season in Minnesota. Anything he picked up and tried, he was exceptional at. And you knew if you could hone that guy, he could have probably been great in anything. Wouldn't that be kind of fun, right?
Like just anything you try, you're
good at.
You're so athletic, right? That you're good at
it. I'm still looking for the first thing I'm good at. Cordell Stewart, Hail Mary at Colorado, went 80 yards in the air. I don't think that went 80 yards in the air. He threw that one to Michael Westbrook, right? Colorado beat Michigan that one. I'm gonna YouTube it and see how far he threw that in the air. It's definitely one of the more famous Hail Marys. I'd be shocked if that ball went 80 yards in the air. We'll take a look. We'll find out when we come back. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. Question of the day, which NFL player would you like to see get punched in the face? And why? In honor of Joey Batts taking one to the grill yesterday. So you can weigh in on that at 641-1010 on the text line, driven by Duval Ford on the phone lines. The Twitter's wide open, the Facebook page, and all that good stuff. It's Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars Today continues in a moment on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Does Flutie have a pro miracle?
I'm Doug Flutie on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Here's Flutie rolling out, and he is in for the touchdown.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right. We've gone to the tape. Tale of the tape. Best I could tell, Tony, I give Cordell Stewart launching it from the 26-yard line, and it got to the goal line and then bounced forward to Michael Westbrook, and he caught the carom about halfway through the end zone. So it did travel about 80 yards, but in the air on the throw, about 74 yards. That's pretty good. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying if Cordell Stewart can do that, I'm not convinced Russell Wilson has the biggest arm in the National Football League. I'm not convinced Cordell Stewart had the biggest arm, but, Russell Wilson doesn't strike me as the guy who can throw it 80 yards. And now apparently I'm obsessed with this. Somebody said Doug Flutie threw one that he thought probably went about 80 yards. And I looked, and Flutie's famous Hail Mary caught by Gerard Phelan back, what was it, 84 against Miami, I think, 65 in the air. Still good. I mean, it's a long throw, but
sure.
65 is a far cry.
A video of Andrew Luck at his pro day. He threw one 70 yards in the air. It was at least 70. It may have been 72, 73, something like that,
yeah,
when everything is said and done. And I was
80's a long way is the point.
Jeff George, apparently there's some videos somewhere of him throwing one 81 at the NFL Combine.
I believe that. Who was the Kyle Bowler was renowned. Yeah, remember his big trick that wowed people was what he could kneel at the 50.
Yeah.
And on one knee, he could throw it through the goalpost or something like that, right?
Which is pretty crazy.
Pretty crazy, right, because you can't get that running start.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, doesn't necessarily translate to any long-term success.
And I couldn't find the video of it, but you need to talk to your boy over there that watches a season of NFL every year in the offseason.
Elliot Harrison, yes.
Yeah, talk to Elliot and see if he can find the play where apparently Vinny Testaverde threw a ball 81 yards.
Okay.
But
in a game?
Yeah. There are reports that happened.
Vinny had a cannon.
Yeah, but I there's no video of that on YouTube.
You know, Parcells said, I think it was the last year they were together in Dallas, and Vinny must have been pushing 40 at the time, said if you just watched him throw, just like warm up, he said that's the best quarterback in the league. To that point, the arm, if he could have stand there unmolested and just set, throw the ball, you say, you think this guy must be the best quarterback in the National Football League right now. That good of an arm till basically the day he retired.
Right.
Testaverde played how long? Into his 40s, didn't
he? Long time, yeah.
He played into his 40s. Let's get Jerome up here on the west side as the crack research staff goes to work on Vinny Testaverde. 641-1010. Jerome, good morning. You're on Jaguars Today. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
How y'all doing?
What's up?
What did Jamarcus Russell do when, from his knee? Didn't he throw the ball from his knees or something? X amount of yards?
Jamarcus Russell? I don't. He may have. Jamarcus Russell.
He has a similar thing. Yeah,
yeah, I would say if you were to tell me Jamarcus Russell was able to throw the ball further than anyone ever that was recorded, I wouldn't doubt it. I don't know that for a fact, but he would probably be in that conversation.
Okay. First, I just want to say, I think the player I probably want to get the gloves on with is Phillip Rivers.
Oh, you want to personally do your own dirty work. I respect
that. Yeah, because he's always barking at somebody. Every time you see him, he's always barking at his teammate. But when he hangs people out to dry, like them receivers and everything, he do something wrong. You don't want to, you know what I mean? My bad. You don't ever catch him saying my fault. You know what I mean? I wish he would stop barking before somebody bite at him. You know what I mean? Bite back.
He does have that, like, red ass barking at your face. I mean, I get that, too. I resemble that remark a little bit, so I'm sure there are plenty that want to punch me. Jerome, you're not the only one who suggested Phillip Rivers, by the way. Someone went on to say he has Tyrannosaurus Rex arms as well, and that's another reason, Tony, that they felt like he was deserving of a closed fist to the facial area. I don't know. He does have the funky delivery. I don't know if he has T-Rex arms, though, does he? Quarterbacks get away with a lot of personality quirks, shall we say.
No, they right? do. I do know that Phillip Rivers is a guy that I saw him flag off Jay Cutler on the sidelines during a San Diego-Denver game. Like, he was on the field, Jay was on the sideline, they made a throw to beat him in that game, and Phillip Rivers walked right up and gave him the finger. Yeah, in the middle of a football game.
And I guess in that instance, you know, that's a case of who do you dislike more, I think, between Rivers and Cutler. Everyone says Rivers is this great competitor, we love him, he's this great competitor. He's a pain in the ass, isn't he? Seems like he would be anyway. But Marino was always barking at somebody. Brady's always barking at somebody. It does seem like quarterbacks get a bit of a pass for that. What do you got, Tyler?
Caller says he remembers seeing Brett Favre throwing a football into the upper deck at the Atlanta Falcons Stadium.
Like coming off the field?
Did
he just overthrow the intended receiver?
No, not an overthrow. He just said he threw up in the upper deck, which is a pretty far distance.
I would think so.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
You know what amazes me? How quickly they can calculate now how far home runs go.
That's crazy.
Isn't that nuts? Like,
is there
GPS?
The speed they come off the bat and everything. Right.
Like, exit velocity.
Right. Had that seat not gotten in the way, that ball would have traveled, you know, 8,000 feet or whatever. I'm just making up a number.
432 feet.
Yeah, it's so specific. Yeah. You're right. I mean, so there has to be, if that technology is applied to that, have we had good video of Favre throwing into the upper deck, I'm sure they could calculate the exact distance that was thrown.
We were just talking about Jamarcus Russell and him throwing it off his knees. Well, Nick Saban said he actually saw it in person. It was pretty amazing, and that it was actually 70 yards off his knees.
70 off the
Nick
knees?
Nick Saban confirmed it. If Saban confirms it, he's a man of his word.
Is he?
Apparently.
All right. I mean, I'm not calling
that was
a liar. Maybe
Russell
I'm
throwing
a ball
70 yards from his knees?
Yeah. Nick Saban
said Jamarcus Russell, not Russell Wilson.
Though. Okay.
Jamarcus Russell was throwing it. Nick Saban saw it in person, so it must have been a draft workout.
70 from the knees is more impressive than 80 standing up.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
I don't know if I believe that though.
Jeff George, you said 81. Tony is the story on him.
Yeah.
I would think again. Jamarcus Russell, I think, is in the conversation. Flacco's got a cannon, a howitzer of an arm.
Yeah, he won some long throw competition. I think at 75. I think I read.
Is it, Tyler, will you just Google, would you mind just Googling what is the record for the farthest thrown football, something like that? See if someone's got some unofficial numbers on that. I don't know. 641-1010, if you'd like to get in. Here we go. Someone just texted as I was saying that. Matt Bassinet. Ever heard of Matt Bassinet? 100 yards in the air, Google longest football throw. And then somebody sent me a link as well to YouTube. Could be porn. I'm not sure. We'll find out. Oh, no, here we go. 100-yard throw in the air at the Cotton Bowl. Matt Bausanger, or however you pronounce this guy's name, he is, from what I'm looking at the other goal line and chucking the ball. The ball's been in the air for 6.27.
That's fake.
I don't believe that, right? You don't see the whole thing. The camera breaks up. You see a guy standing on the other goal line. You see a receiver trucking down the field and catching it at the opposite goal line, but the camera swings and you don't see where the guy, you don't even see the ball.
You never see the ball.
Right. You see him kind of pantomime catching. For all we know, he didn't even throw a ball in that video. I don't know. I'm not buying that. I need better confirmation that this dude, who didn't even look that big, did he?
No.
When you see him running up the field at the end, right? He looked like that guy who you throw in there against Southeast Missouri in the second half in mop-up duty. I don't know if he's got a 100-yard cannon on that right shoulder. So not buying that one. Anyway, all these are very impressive. Somebody put Steve O'Neill of the Jets, punted one 96 yards. It was actually 98, but he got like 30 yards a roll on that. Randall Cunningham's got a 90-plus yard punt.
Yes, he does.
I remember actually watching that. Wow. I hope that person's not really doing what he said he's doing right now on the text line. So I won't read that to encourage any of the rest of you from doing those kind of things as well. Question of the day, once again, which is the NFL player you'd most like to see get squared up and punched in the face in honor of the guy whose name I'm having trouble pronouncing? What is it again? Ragdon?
Oh, Rugned Odor.
Rugned. He's not a character on Game of Thrones, is he?
No.
Hodor and Rugned.
Hodor.
And he punched Bautista in the face yesterday.
Yes, he did.
Bautista got the he got plunked. And I know they're debating whether that was deliberate or not in a one-run game. The hell it wasn't deliberate. I mean, it's a one-run game in May. You know what? If you pitch around a guy, Tony, there's a good chance you walk him anyway. What's the difference between pitching around a guy and gently placing him on first base, then plunking him, even in a one-run game? I mean, they walk Barry Bonds with the bases loaded on occasion back in his heyday. I'm not saying Bautista is on that kind of roll, but nevertheless, that's where it stands right now. 641-1010, if you'd like to get in. Any thoughts on Bjorn Werner? We talked about him a little bit last week and with John Osier this morning. I'm intrigued, at least, Tony, to see if he's got anything. You know, it's very much a risk-free addition to the Jaguars, and you like to see guys that have had enough pedigree. I know Russ Landy, and, you know, I like Russ Landy. He's not always right, but I like the fact that he has his own opinions. He was very high on Werner. He had him as a top-10 player coming out of Florida State. Certainly looks like he over-evaluated him and mis-evaluated him because he's never flashed much at all. Now, here's one for you. If he would sign here, would you want the Jags to sign Dwight Freeney? You see the stat going around? I think Peter King had it in his Monday Morning Quarterback column, right? I forget the exact total of snaps. Let's say it was 350 snaps, thereabouts. In that many snaps, he had like 8 sacks last year.
Mm-hmm.
You compare that to Olivier Vernon, well over 600 snaps to get his, I think, 8.5 sacks last year. Now, Dwight Freeney has said, I only want to play for a winner. I'm used to playing for winners. I don't know if he'd come here to Jacksonville. There's a lot of positive thought about this team becoming a winner.
Sure.
But they haven't been one, and they were a longtime rival, you know, that he played against. It'd be like, you know, playing for, you name the team, and wrapping up your career trying to cash one more paycheck with the division rival. Maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. Seems like Dwight Freeney has been smart. It doesn't seem like he's hurting for money. It seems like he wants to chase a ring one more season. He did it with Arizona last year, and he said it was, you know, a nervous time waiting to see if somebody would sign him. But when he got in there, pretty productive as a pass rusher.
Dwight Freeney is exactly the type of player I would like to see the Jaguars
right?
sign. It's a guy who, you know what he is, you know what his role is going to be at this point in time, that he's going to come in and be a guy that can give you maybe 6 to 8 sacks in a season, but that's all you'd need out of Dwight Freeney with the amount of snaps that you'd be giving him. And he'd be a veteran presence to show Dante Fowler Jr. and Yannick Ngakoue and some of these other young pass rushers that you have on this team. This is what works. This is what doesn't. My big issue with the pass rushing positions for this football team right now, that Leo spot, is that they don't have experience.
Right.
That's the thing that I'm concerned. I'm not concerned about the talent level of the guys that they have playing those spots. I'm concerned about the experience level that they have. And if you're going to have a season where you're just waiting on these guys to figure it out and it takes longer than you want it to, then they're not as effective as they could be or will be in the next 2 or 3 years. I think if you could have brought in a guy like Freeney, it's why I was all about Ayers when he was available to bring in a guy who has experience pass rushing. And look, there's only so many guys that have been more successful rushing the passer in the history of this league than Dwight Freeney has been in his career. So, heck yeah. I mean, if he would be willing to sign here, I'd be all about Freeney being here in Jacksonville.
So I was trying to Google what is the farthest a football has ever been thrown, and I can't really find an official answer, and it seems like it might be either Vinny Testaverde or even Joe Flacco when he was at the University of Delaware, threw 81 yards. But this one, it doesn't even seem fathomable. 213 yards back in 1934 by George Lansborough. There's no video, obviously. I'm only coming through that answer through a bunch of forum posts, so I can't find an official record of
that. What kind of nonsense is that?
Was it made of helium?
I'm not sure, but people on the forums are saying, according to the Guinness record books, I can't find the official Guinness record
book. 213 yards.
213 yards.
How far
yards
do people throw the javelin? It's not that far, right? It's like 300-something feet, right?
Yeah.
People throw the javelin?
It's like 100 yards.
Nobody has ever thrown anything 213 yards. I think it's safe to say no one's ever thrown any. Maybe, you know, some kind of glider or something that has an aerodynamic property to it. No one has thrown, like, a ball of
what
any
year was
kind.
That
was 1934.
That didn't happen.
I got to find a Guinness book. I'm trying to find someone.
He was a hell of a grenade chucker. He was a valuable weapon during the war.
Oh, he would have been
chucking
incredible.
Hundreds of yards.
Just hundreds of yards. This guy, they never would have let him leave the army back in the day. No, that did not happen. No one's ever thrown an object. Maybe a discus. I don't know. Maybe somebody, those frisbee players, they do throw those things forever.
Maybe something that's
something like designed to fly that far, right? And for hang time and all that. But, I mean, football is designed to be thrown. It's not designed to be thrown 213 yards. And
it's not a glider.
Happened.
It's a football.
Does not have wings. Somebody sent me the link to one of those old commercials, you know, the little Nerf football with the little aerodynamic piece sticking out of the back. Whatever, and they show the kid, and he throws in Elway's face, you know, like his jaw drops, and then you see it, just like the other video, it lands in the end zone. You never see it going the whole way, and it says over 100 yards. It doesn't say it was thrown over 100 yards. There's a lot of wiggle room, and they're claiming that the little kid is the one who threw it. There's just not enough mass in one of those things to go that far, I don't think. I don't know.
I could throw those things a pretty long way. I mean, compared to a football, I could throw it farther than I could throw a football.
Could you?
Pretty easily, yeah.
Did it feel like it would top out, though, at a certain point? Maybe it would with the aerodynamic little tail go over 100
yards.
Sure
it would. I don't have a strong enough arm to
I don't think they had
one
of those in 1930, whatever it was, though. I don't think that's what we're talking about here. So
200 yards.
No, nothing was going over 200 yards. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back.
213.3.
Oh, they're very specific. Then it
but
must
a very
be true.
Rudimentary rocket.
It must
back
be
into
true.
That football.
And was he in the Berlin Olympics in 36 then for the U.S.
Cannot
throwing
confirm.
Something?
Will not confirm.
All right, to look up Olympian throwers and see if his name shows up anywhere. Because if it doesn't, they were doing something wrong back in the 30s. Apparently, they're doing a lot wrong. It's called the Great Depression. All right, moving along. It's just quite the day for me, isn't it? I'm just ripping Russell Wilson's marital habits and everything else. All right, coming back, the state in not the state in football, the question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, asking you which NFL player is most deserving of a punch in the schnoz, and we'll tell you what kind of feedback and why. That's the important thing. Here it is. John Elway threw a Nerf over 100 yards. That's a Nerf. Give me a regular football. The record for the longest frisbee throw stands at 1,333 feet, more than a quarter mile. Yeah, that would do it. That would be the record setter right there. Again, that's a frisbee. The record, the longest throw of an object without any velocity-aiding feature is a boomerang thrown 1,401 feet by David Shummy. So there you have it in Australia. There you have it, the boomerang toss. Exceeds the football toss in all spheres. Back with the question of the day as we continue along. Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, beef is caught up on Civil War.
Finally.
Announced. Big spoilers, he's talking about. Sorry, we've seen it. I saw it again on Friday. Just as good the second time around.
Yeah.
My wife was kind of like, I don't like when they fight. had a little kid in the row behind us. It could have been like, I don't know, seven, something like that. And, Daddy, why aren't they fighting? It was early in the movie, and he knew. He must have been like, this is one where Captain America fights Iron Man. Don't get upset. It's all make-believe. Daddy, why aren't they fighting?
It was pretty awesome when they did.
Had to wait for the violence, kid. Question of the day, Tony, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Automobile Dealerships. Asked, if any, you don't have to want to see somebody get punched in the face, but Tyler Devitt suggested it. It was a topical question today, and I'd like to see Tyler get punched in the face, but he's not a football player, so that was not my answer today. I'd like to see him get punched by Jordan DeArmond. That'd be great. Because you couldn't hit her back.
I couldn't, no.
Because she's a lady.
Unless that was Greg Hardy, but I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do that. Well, Greg Hardy's never laid his hands
he's
on
innocent.
A woman.
He's very innocent.
You know, he's gotten counseling to deal with
to
his
say
unemployment.
To say, Greg Hardy, to say Greg Hardy is guilty would be a stretch of the words, right?
At this point, yes, because his conviction got thrown out, right? All right. Anyway, question of the day is, which NFL player is a really a quality program? One for the time capsule. What do you think, guys? We'll bury this one out in front and, you know, come back in 10 years.
May 16th.
Remember how good things were May 16th, 2016. Which NFL player would you most like to see get punched in the face? And why, Tony, what did we get on Twitter?
Shocking. The avalanche of J.J. Watt.
Big run on J.J. Watt.
First here from Joel, J.J. Watt, his reasoning, I don't like him. From Twofold Doom. Oh, this question is so good, so good. J.J. Watt, because he's an overrated look-at-me asshat, is the way Duval Green
right.
puts it. From Kyle, hands down, no question, I'd want to punch Greg Hardy in the face. From Allison, he's not a player, but I've wanted to punch Jeff Fisher in the face for 16 years. Does that count? From Irish Jaguar,
sure.
Blaine Gabbert, just because he included the photo to remind you of the good times. From Daniel, Tom Brady, because he's Tom Brady. From Chris, OBJ for his comment, rookies don't get paid enough for what they do. I think a lot of people want to punch Odell Beckham
Jr. For that
Jr.
quote, though, is that yeah. the reason you want to punch him? I could see because you thought he acted like a spoiled brat when things didn't go his way against Josh Norman or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. And honestly, in the preseason last year against the Jaguars, he was
Sergio
a
got him
right baby.
Up.
That's true.
Yeah.
He is a little bit of a pretentious guy.
From Frank, anybody in a Patriots uniform, hashtag cheating gets you beaten. From Brian, Pat McAfee.
Wait. Cheating gets you beaten. What is his Twitter handle name?
At USA Frank.
But
Frank Cheatham?
Frank Cheatham.
That may be his last name.
It may be, but cheating gets you beaten. It just seemed a little too coincidental for me.
Cheating gets you beaten. From Brian, Pat McAfee, because punters are asshats too. Hashtag keep it to yourself. From Joey, former Falk. Sanctimonious rude hole and current Hardy, we all know why. Hashtag I'd hit that man. From Connor, I'd love to see Greg Hardy get punched in the face over and over and over again. From Richard, John Henderson, because my guess is he would enjoy it. From Jarrell, former NFL player Bill Cowher, because of that chin and being an open Jags hater.
Now, I got a few here on the Facebook page. Got more than a few, but Marshall went with Golden Tate because he did us dirty in Seattle. But all time, it's Tom Brady for cheating, whining about everything, tuck roll, being a deadbeat dad, just a bad dude. Oh, ouch. Hashtag Jags Pride, hashtag Jaguars Today. Adrian said, what a bizarre question. None of them, obviously. Though if any of them has to be punched, why not start with someone who's previously punched others in the face? All right, well, we're not saying we're going to do this. This is kind of more a hypothetical. What would make you feel good?
Free shot, no repercussions.
In your reptilian brain. David went with Ndamukong Suh, not even sure he'd feel it, but I'm tired of seeing him deliberately stomp on people and get away with it. Okay, that seems pretty reasonable. Someone said, can we just go with politicians and say blank and blank, but I'm not going to tell you who because I'm not going to start a little thing here, but if I had to pick, it would be Blaine Gabbert.
I don't like any of them.
Don
and
Fuego,
politicians.
One punch it crushes Pac-Man Jones, deflects off perfect for dumbassing the Bengals' playoff chances. Okay, the combo there. Cameron Franklin, Bruce Irvin had a little dispute on Twitter with Telvin and made all the fans get overexcited. He'd sign with us. Trust us, the Jags don't feel like they missed out on anything with Bruce Irvin. Tony and I knows for a fact.
Yep,
they had zero interest in Bruce Irvin. And we'll leave it at that. Kevin, the hater, said Richard Sherman constantly running his mouth, but is nowhere to be found after a loss or getting beat on a big play. I agree with that. Run your mouth. Then,
He talks after losses.
Does he?
People don't care what he has to say after losses, but he talks after losses.
All right, maybe. Dustin, Brown's backup tight end Kyle Burke. Think he'd make the program. Brown's backup tight end Kyle Burke needs an uppercut after snubbing me for an autograph a few years back. Well, add Kevin Moss, formerly of the Yankees, to that list then, too, all right? He totally blew me off after a game like in 1990, back when I cared about getting someone's autograph. Chad, I'd punch Peyton Manning in the face. Oh, no. And I'll just leave it at that. Because he was going to do something in addition to that, but not to Peyton. And if you think the political one would have stirred something up, this one would have been worse.
Yeah.
Let's go with Eric, not a player, but Jeff Fisher. for being such a pinprick in his attitudes towards the Jaguars. I think I inserted an extra word in there. Daniel went with Greg Hardy because he won't own up to being a punk who beats up girls. Many for Greg Hardy. Chris Brown went with Cam Newton because he just can't stand the dude. Who else? Andrew Luck, Brock Osweiler. Welcome to the NFC or the AFC South. Bam! Yeah, just no other reason than that. Let's see. Johnny Manziel, Kirk Cousins, just so somebody can ask him afterwards, you like that? You like that? I think Kirk Cousins is a genuinely good guy.
That's
right?
Funny, though.
It is funny, but I do think he's a genuinely good guy.
You like that?
I say that, what do I know about Kirk Cousins other than he comes across as a genuinely good guy? You know, he's a very religious guy, and not that you're necessarily a bad guy if you're not, but you know what I'm saying.
Never be a winning team.
Let's see. Then Spinner just posted a video of the state of origin fights and brawls, which I will watch later.
Do you guys have a personal choice on if you had a free shot, who would be your player?
Man, I don't know.
DeSean
I know
Jackson. Who mine is. DeSean Jackson, I don't even have to think about it. I hate that
guy. Let's see. You know, I don't hate Brady. I wouldn't punch Brady. You know, all these guys, anybody who beats up a woman, that's too easy,
oh,
right?
Absolutely.
They all deserve that. I mean, that's just from a fan standpoint, who would irk me? A.J. Duhe for picking off two passes in the AFC Championship game back in 82 in the Mud Bowl against the Jets. That he angered me greatly, but he was just doing his job. See, I wouldn't really do this. Like, I think it's crazy to throw at Joey Bautista because he flipped his bat. So he flipped his bat. You can call him an ass. People can judge whether he's an ass or not. He didn't violently attack you. And
no, the slide may have been a little aggressive.
Well, yeah, but that was a retaliation.
After he got
That's
hit.
For getting hit. He got attacked physically.
He got hit in...
with a baseball.
The seventh game that they've played since that other game, in the eighth inning of the seventh game they've played since the other game. If you're going to throw at him, which I don't know if I condone throwing at him at all, but you don't wait till the eighth inning of a one-run game the seventh time you play.
Do you think they're throwing at him?
Yes.
I totally think they're throwing at him.
And they had some guy
that's one got away.
A 30-year-old journeyman on the hill out there who's basically, they just said, throw at him.
Take one for the team.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, you want to earn a paycheck for another week? Better put one between his ribs or his forearm, as the case may be.
I'm surprised nobody named maybe the guy with the most punchable face in the whole National Football League. The Bears quarterback, Jay Cutler.
You named Jay Cutler. That was your pick, right?
That was my pick.
I saw you tweet that out.
Anchor down, baby.
Tony, are you a fan? Are you a Jay Cutler guy since he went to Vanderbilt?
Yeah. I mean, I like Jay Cutler.
He's so unlikable, though.
I'm not saying you got to like him. He's a first-round quarterback pick out of Vanderbilt. I'm not going to dislike the guy. We don't have much of that going on.
All right. He's totally anchoring down on that one. That's fine. You got nothing else to hang your hat on with those guys. Corey Chavis. Woo. All right. Thanks for tuning in.
Pretty good.
I'm just kidding. Well, he was okay
he's
last
pretty
year.
Pretty good.
He was okay. He was
J-Mac.
Okay. That whole offense was a work in progress, let's say, up in Philadelphia. Wild West Guns and Gold brings you the show every Monday. They are North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories. We appreciate their support. Revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between. If you have gun needs, check them out. Wild West Guns and Gold. They'll meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA. Guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Visit Guns for Jax. That's Guns, the number 4, JAX.com online, or stop by South Lane Avenue and say hello to the boys at Wild West. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. What are you chuckling at?
I was just thinking, what if we changed our fan feedback question to which 1010XL personality or producer would you most likely want to punch in the face?
Bonus question.
The response would be interesting.
I don't need to do this.
We have to limit it to our show.
I win in a landslide. All right. Let's be honest. Seriously. Tony's going to get 1% of the vote, and it's just going to be the contrarian vote, you know, for the people who are just trying to be funny.
But if it was stationwide, it'd be a very interesting
Stationwide
response.
May be interesting, but I don't want to get into a situation where we're trying to encourage violence against our coworkers here, our respected coworkers here. But I think I have a strong chance regardless.
You'd be a front runner.
I think Prosser's got a chance. I think Ballou's got a chance.
Hacker might get
I think
votes.
Hacker's got a chance. I think Frank might be a sneaky dark horse to place, maybe. I'm not saying he'd win it. I think he might place. I think people like Joe C and T-Wig. I think people love Hick. Brent Martino. Nobody dislikes Brent Martino, do they?
You can't punch Brent Martino.
You're not going to punch Brent Martino. You're not going to punch any of these ladies around here. We're all going to whip that ass. So I don't know who else it would be. I think I'd have a
pretty good shot
at this. It sounds
like a four-horse race. You, Prosser,
Blue, and
Hacker, and Blue.
Yeah, that's probably what it would be. It depends on what time of day it is, right? If you're in the morning, you'd probably say Prosser. Right now, you'd probably say me. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But I'd like to think I have a strong shot at winning something for the first time in my life. That does it. Hey, you know what? Tweet me and let me know if you'd like to punch me in the face. So I'll know to be on the lookout in the days ahead. Please don't do it. You can want to. It's just a mental exercise. That does it for Jaguars Today. Always pertinent, always just really important issues that we're breaking down here. Thanks to John Osier from Jaguars.com for stopping by. Check him out all week long over there. As who knows when the next time we're going to get to Everbank is, Tony. I really don't. As the construction continues, what means is good news for you, because that club seating area is going to be spectacular. Spectacular,
no doubt,
when the season rolls around. So with that, that'll do it for us. Thanks to Tyler Devitt. Thanks to Joe Fortunato. For John Osier, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. And thanks again to Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. The Midday Chalk is next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.